wherever you are day tripping this weekend. I hope the conditions are great for you and you have a wonderful time. We do a series at Up North News about various day trips that you can take, road tripping around Wisconsin. Our most recent one is Mineral Point. I am editing a story right now on Ashland, a fantastic place to go for the weekend, and hope to get that posted on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, in the next couple of days. I was looking for more information about Netroots Nation going on in Pittsburgh, and from Pittsburgh Public Radio is an article that kind of previews it. Just to tell you a bit more about it, I don't know if Carolyn Fiddler and I gave you enough background, but you know, it is a case of, in the words of Pennsylvania State Representative Austin Davis, who's also the Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor this year, he says the key here is that progressives win by, quote, elevating the voices of the people who are on the ground. I say this in my speeches all the time. The people who are closest to the pain should be closest to the power. And I think we got that sense last week from Angela Lang with Block as well. So Netroots Nation this year has about 140 panel discussions, workshops, and other events. And for those of you who are not fans of progressives and are hate listening to this show, I want to give you some food for thought that, yes, of the 140 events, they include some yoga sessions. So I just want you to picture a bunch of, you know, Birkenstock wearing, hemp basket weaving, granola munching yoga fans. And they're not all like that. That's a stereotype, but I have to give the haters a little something to, you know, to play with as well. The gathering has all kinds of speakers, as you can imagine, high profile progressives that include Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. And I mentioned her specifically because, gee, you're going to be surprised about this, but one of the first attack ads against Mandela Barnes links him to the squad, to Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others who, you know, these are scary people. And I can't tell you how many tweets in response to it simply said, wouldn't it have been easier just to call Mandela Barnes black? Because that's really what you're trying to say here, isn't it? Is to tie to something that, you know, you don't like. Not just that you don't agree with, but Ilhan Omar is not going anywhere. She is somebody who has become a fearless leader in her community, AOC as well. And they have been the people closest to the pain. So it's no wonder they are now being elected to positions where they are closer to the power. So as all these people meet each other, work on movement building, work on organizations. You know, Barack Obama was dismissed in 2008 as a community organizer. And then you look at what happened. It's because he was plugged in to people. He was plugged into people in pain. And that's not to say that, you know, not everybody has a level of pain. Everybody has a level of angst. I have said to more candidates and more gatherings to people, that if you want to make a connection with somebody who might not agree with you politically, the very first thing you have to do is acknowledge their pain, acknowledge their angst. Yeah, we mocked Bill Clinton for saying in 1992, I feel your pain, but he was absolutely right. It's the first thing. We can talk all day about, you know, let's say white privilege, you know, the privilege that somebody has, or male privilege or whatnot. Completely true. But they also have issues. They also have fears. They have worries. And if you start any conversation with anybody, just attacking them or dismissing them, you're not going to make any progress. That only works on some inalienable subjects like, you know, racism, you know, for example. But by and large, people who disagree with you are not setting out to hate you. They simply have their own pain and their own difficulties, and they're looking for somebody who will listen to them, somebody who will acknowledge what they're going through, and then promise not to forget them when they get elected. I certainly heard that from, you know, well-to-do folks living in, you know, nice homes in the city of Eau Claire, and from people who lived out on dirt roads in Clark County who had never had a candidate come there before to ask them for their vote. And it's not difficult to A, listen, and B, not forget them once you get in, to fight not only for, you know, good school aides for districts like Eau Claire, but to fight to make sure that you're increasing transportation aid to a rural school district as it gets more and more expensive to run the school buses, you know, from farm to farm. These are not tough things. And community organizers, what they do, or what they're trained to do, is a lot like we talked about with Robert Craig from Citizen Action recently. Get out there, knock on some doors, listen to people. And then once you have that conversation going, there's a fairly good chance, better than before, that they will then listen to you and understand that you are offering something that may be a solution. It may be something they disagree with, but in an earnest conversation, what you're really looking for is that acknowledgement that they don't necessarily agree with you, but they also don't think you're lying to them. So when you've built that kind of a base for a relationship, you may not win their vote, you know, in that first conversation, but at least you've started something and you can build on that. And I believe there's a lot of that happening at Netroots Nation as they go out and come back home, rather, and train other people to do the work that they have done so well. I would contrast that to, as I mentioned early in the conversation with Carolyn, CPAC, which is the right-wing activist convention, and the moves that they're taking, not now just toward embracing authoritarianism and fascism, but in some ways outright encouraging it. And it is not hyperbole. It is not alarmist. It is real. Those are the conversations that are being had. Those are the plans that are being made. And the only way they succeed is, in fact, by lying to those same voters and making promises to alleviate their pain that they have no intention of keeping once they get into power. When we come back in our next hour, we will finally have the definitive conversation about what in God's name constitutes a dad shirt versus a Hawaiian shirt or a bowling shirt. I didn't even know there was a such thing as a camp collar, but that's the key. Details next. You're up north.